Good morning, Cornerstone. Good morning. Thanks for everyone coming out this morning. Happy Mother's Day. And we are going to open up our service. I'll pray a special blessing over all the moms, and we'll get rolling. Let's pray. Thanks, Papa God, for all you do for us. Thanks for waking us up this morning, giving us the gift of life, breath in our lungs, and thoughts in our head, and spirit in our hearts, your Holy Spirit in our hearts, Lord God. I pray a special blessing over each one of the moms here today, and each one of our moms that couldn't make it today. I pray a blessing over them of peace, of joy, of hope, of love, and I just pray that each one of them will feel loved today, and that you will give each one of them just a special God hug from you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are a mom today, could you stand up? I'm going to call you out, and we're going to recognize you. All right, there's a few, and all right. And thank you to all the moms. And okay, next, if you arrived on this planet by way of a mom, you can stand up as well. Okay, all right. That takes care of most everyone else. All right. Let's get your toe stomping and hand clapping ready. We're gonna start out this morning. All right, are you with me? Here we go. Everyone, let everything
that has breath.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let everything
that has breath.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'll praise in the valley. I'll praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure. I'll praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when I'm numbered. I'll praise when surrounded. Is the water my enemies drowning? As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
I praise when I don't. I praise cause I know you're still in control. My praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is a shout that brings Jericho down. As I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it inside? I'm gonna
everybody's got something to be thankful for and to praise the Lord for this morning. So I want you to get something in your mind and just and praise the Lord for that, whatever it is that you're thinking of. And if you can't think of anything, we'll give you some ideas here.
I'll praise cause you're sovereign. Praise cause you reign. Praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise cause you're faithful, praise cause you're true, praise cause there's nobody greater than you. I praise cause you're sovereign, praise cause you reign, praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise cause you're faithful, praise cause you're true, praise cause there's nobody greater than you.
I praise,
praise cause you're sovereign, praise cause you reign, praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise cause you're faithful, praise cause you're true, praise cause there's nobody greater than you.
You brought your A game this morning.
I feel the energy.
Now this next song we're gonna now watch the second line on this song, okay? Because we're gonna change it around a little bit just to honor the mothers this morning. So sing with us.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every mother's heart and mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety.
That one's for me.
To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus.
Let's sing that part again.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold,
name is power.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus.
Let's say that one more time.
Shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus.
Your name is power.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Heart and mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I see Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord God.
Amen. Good to sing that song, guys. You guys can have a seat. You know, there's power in a name. You know what the name of Jesus means? It means our God saves. God has come to save his people from their sins. Jesus is a powerful name, and we want to speak it with boldness. So welcome, guys. Welcome to Cornerstone. We are filling up this place. There's a lot of people here today. Happy Mother's Day. In honor of Mother's Day, as a way to be sensitive to mothers, especially maybe moms who maybe didn't feel ready to be a mom, we have Barbara here today, and she's going to share a really important ministry. It's called LC Medical. And she's going to share for just a few minutes about what's going on at LC Medical and what they do and what they're all about. So, Barbara, come on up.
Thank you
for being here.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to you moms. I'm Barbara Vogel-Gesang. It's always safe not to say my last name because it's really long. On this special day, it's Mother's Day, we celebrate the strength, love, and selflessness of mothers, which reflects God, right? And to those of us who raised us, to those of you who are right now raising little ones, and those who are still deciding, is motherhood right for me? At Life Choices LC Medical, we see all those moms. And we get to walk alongside them at the very beginning of their journey into motherhood. Sometimes they're really scared. Sometimes they're unsure. But there's always the potential when they walk through our doors to have something amazing happen in their lives. Because when they walk through our doors, Jesus is there. And I'm getting chills. Like, our mission, I could read you our mission statement and it's all pretty and nice, and but instead, I'd rather tell you what it means. What do we actually do? First, I'll say all our services are free, at no cost, and confidential. And they're provided in a professional and caring environment. We have a nurse manager. We have a doctor that oversees everything. And we provide ultrasounds, pregnancy tests, STD testing, material support, and emotional support to moms that come in. But we make an impact. That's the thing that I every day pray for and praise God for. Right where people are making serious life-changing decisions, we're there, and God is doing that. So I spend 2 days a week in the office in Kutztown. We're right on Main Street. And I am 2 days in our office in Shoemakersville, which is our Thrive office. And then we have another building in Hamburg, and I'm kind of in and out of there all the time. I am their development and education director. So in Kutztown is where we offer our medical services, pregnancy testing, ultrasounds, birthing classes, STD testing, and some counseling. And I don't work directly with clients, but I often pass through the waiting room. And our executive director, Joyce Stutzman, she calls it the prayer room. So much prayer happens in that room. And I think that's where the impact begins. I've seen parents praying with their daughters. I have seen moms praying because they feel so alone and scared. And I've seen dads who just want to support the mother of their child and they don't know how, and they're scared too. Let me tell you about Adam. So one day I was walking through, getting things done, and I saw this man sitting there, this young man, and he had his head down and he was crying, and he saw me and I said, "Oh my gosh, are you okay? Can I get you a drink of water?" You know, and he said, "I am trying to pray. I don't know how to pray. I don't know that God listens to me. No one listens to me." So I sat down and I said, "You could be my son." And I always listen to my son. So go ahead and talk. And he started telling me his whole story. His partner was expecting, and he made some really bad decisions and wound up in prison. And while he was there, she lost the baby. So when he came out of prison, she was pregnant again with someone else's child. And that person left her. And he just wanted to be there to support her and raise this child if she would let him. And he said, "I've tried praying. I don't think God hears me because I've done things wrong." And I said, "Oh, let me tell you about this guy, David. You know, I have kind of a quirky personality." And I said, "Oh, let me tell you about this guy, David. David, he didn't go to work. He decided he didn't want to go to work when it was time for him to go to work. And he couldn't sleep that night, so he was like roaming around and he saw this woman and he thought, oh, she's beautiful, I want her. And he was in a position of authority, so he had the people who work for him set it up so they could get together. And then he really liked her, so when her husband came home from work, he got rid of her husband." And this Adam leaned over, he was like, "Oh my gosh." I said, "Yeah, he actually had the husband killed." And he went, "What?" I said, "Yeah, but he repented. He said he was sorry, and he tried to make things right as best he could. He spoke to God, and God said, 'You're my beloved.'" And he went, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. How do you know this?" I said, "It's in the Bible. It was King David. David, who killed Goliath, he did some really seriously bad things, and God still loved him. And God still heard him. When you read the Psalms, you hear David crying out. And as it goes on the end, he's praising God." So I said to him, "Don't be afraid to cry out. Because at the end, you stick with God, you will praise him in the end." So he said, "Well, I don't even know how to pray." I said, "All right, well, we'll pray together." So I started, and then he started just talking to God. Because that's what prayer is. Prayer is not this complicated thing. And, you know, I just want to be there for her. I just want to be there for the baby, but I don't know if she'll let me. So we say amen, and the nurse walks in the room, and she says, "Excuse me, sir, she would like you to meet your baby on the sonogram." These are the things that happen in our office, and it's incredible. In our Hamburg office is where we have volunteers and staffs that meet with moms and parents and give them that support and community they need to raise their family. There are parenting classes through teenage years. We have material support there. It's our baby boutique. And for every appointment that a mom keeps, she gets to shop with points in the baby boutique and get the things she needs. So last year we served 87 brand new clients. We had over 700 appointments, and that's more than we've ever had. And the need is growing. God's doing this incredible work, and to be able to be a little part of that is such an honor, because these moms find themselves in a very dark place. And here is God shining the light of Jesus into their hearts and the hearts of their unborn children, into their entire families. Most women come to us very early in their pregnancies, and they have all these voices. There's this loud voice of the world saying, "This is what you should do." And then there's that still, quiet voice of God. And we get to kind of push the world out for a minute or two so she can hear that still, quiet voice. You know, at 7 weeks, a baby is the size of a coffee bean. They're really small. But with an ultrasound, you can detect the heartbeat. And we get the honor of introducing moms to their babies through that ultrasound. And it's the first time they meet their child. And it is life-changing. It's an honor. It's an honor to be able to do that God lets us do that. And we get to let them know you are not alone. There is support for you. And there is this great big God who will never, ever leave you alone. So what do we do to prevent this? Well, we have Thrive Education, and we go into schools and we teach healthy relationship education. And we are in about 5 different school districts. Last year, we impacted over 1,500 students, teaching them how to make healthy decisions, how to have healthy relationships, how to set goals. Because there are 3 things that make a person, will definitely make them successful. 1, finish school. 2, get a full-time job. And 3, don't have a baby till you're married. And if we can help them move towards that, then it helps everybody. It helps communities. It helps them. So we're now launching a college outreach program to KU, and we're also piloting some programs we can offer to youth groups, all free of charge. So what we do, it's important. And this summer, we're launching a capital campaign because we're making our medical services bigger, and we want to be able to serve our clients more. We're going to have a community room where we can teach life skills right here in Kutztown. Now, we are so grateful we have church partners that walk beside us, that pray for us, that help support the costs of things, and even welcome moms into their congregations, which is so important. We want them to get connected. One of my very favorite verses is Philippians 2, 15 to 16, and it says, "We should shine like stars in the universe as we hold out the word of life." And as the world gets darker, we have to be more committed to shining like those stars. They guide the lost. Stars show travelers the way home. It's important. Stars aren't floodlights. Stars are not searchlights. Stars are constant. They're there. They're twinkling. And it's this gentle love that never stops. So you don't have to be a counselor or a nurse to make a difference. You can pray. Maybe you can give. Maybe you can volunteer. We're always looking for more volunteers. So I brought some baby bottles today with me. And if you want to take one home and fill it with your change and bring it back on Father's Day, that would bless us and support us. If you are interested in just taking a tour of our facility, give me a call. I'll be more than happy to do that. But, you know, as we honor moms today, those with the children in their arms, those with children in their hearts, and those yearning to be moms, we have such an important role in nurturing life. And if you're a mom and your children are here, they're a blessing. I know they're a challenge. I have four. They're all grown up. They lived. But it is a blessing. And, you know, we don't become more like the image of God in spite of our children, but because of them. The challenges that they give you stretch and grow you as well. It's a blessing. And the only way we can really do it is because we're supported. God puts a community around us to do that. And, you know, when you're blessed to be in a community like this, you have the people who are going to help you in a God-honoring way so that you can leave that legacy of building the kingdom in your family. So, you know, thanks for praying for us. Thanks for praying for the moms in the community, helping us write the stories that have the happy endings, that have the God-honoring endings. And thanks for standing beside us, because sometimes the work doesn't always end like it did with Adam, and that's hard. So thanks for letting me come here, and let God's light shine through each of you to whatever mom is in your life, and you will make an impact. God bless you.
Thank you, Barbara, for being with us and informing us, letting us know. Some of you probably didn't even know anything about LC Medical before today. So we're going to pray for them in a couple minutes, but we are, did anybody hear any children's voices during this, as Barbara was talking about children? Yeah, I heard a few. That's good, right? We like the children who are here. We also have a special program for them downstairs for everyone third grade and below. So we are going to dismiss the younger kids, third grade and under, whoever of them would like to go downstairs. In the meantime, we have a question of the day, sort of related to Mother's Day. What's a way you can show love to someone today, whether it's your mom or a different mom or somebody else? What's a way you can show love to someone today? And if you want, you could rise up to your feet and greet somebody, say hello to somebody, and what's your answer to the question? All right. Find your seats. Well, on behalf of the children, I do want to say to the moms, your kids do appreciate you. Okay, they don't know how to express it very well, especially when they're young, but your kids do appreciate you. So I just want to get that out on behalf of them. They all reached out to me. They all sent me a text this morning and said, please tell my mom. They didn't actually do that, but you are appreciated. How many of you are already familiar with LCU Medical? You've heard of them. You know a little bit about them, like maybe a third of your hands. Okay. How many of you know somebody who went to LC Medical and got some support and some help? One hand. Two hands. So the reason I ask that is because I just want to point out that the people that they are ministering to, we have no idea who they are. And they are struggling in a way that we don't have a lot of times we don't have a connection with them. This is a unique ministry that reaches a group of people that are struggling. And think about when that teenage girl becomes pregnant, her world is flipped upside down and nobody has a clue. Nobody has a clue at all. So I'm just really thankful for this outpost of God's kingdom that's there doing this specific ministry for this unique need. They're positioned in a place to give specialized support for people who are facing a really challenging thing. And I hope that we can do better praying for this ministry and supporting them. And one way that we can support is through referrals. Like, you meet people, you know people that I don't know, that they don't know. And if you come into a situation where you have a friend, somebody you know who's facing an unplanned pregnancy, offer to go with them. Find, okay, I heard about this LC Medical. I don't really know too much about them, but let's go together and see what they can do to help. Or you might know somebody with abortion regret who's feeling this guilt. They minister to people like that too. They're not like, you should, nothing like that. They have this ministry called Surrendering the Secret. It's just, let me just get it out. This has been a burden on me for decades, maybe. You know, and so this is a way that we can tap into this ministry. So this Mother's Day, I don't know what your plans are. I hope you're planning to honor your mom if you possibly can today. But I want us to remember the moms who weren't hoping to become moms just yet, because it happens every day. And pray that as this ministry and as God's people come alongside them, that they would come alongside not in judgment but in support, right? Because our hope is one, we hope that they would choose to let the baby live, and two, that they would get the kind of support that they need if they make that decision, because that's a huge deal, and three, that they'd find Jesus to be their greatest source of strength and support as they take those steps, those scary steps forward. That's what we want. So, I didn't give Bonnie very much notice, but as she walked in, I was like, oh, I was really hoping you would pray. So she said yes, so I would like Bonnie to just pray for this ministry. If you can just join us in prayer, Bonnie, would you pray? Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you. I give a hearty amen to that. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible today, find the book of Lamentations. Lamentations. Where in the world is Lamentations? If you have a Bible, maybe you don't have a clue where to find that. It's in the Old Testament. If you flip to the middle, you reach the Psalms, Proverbs. Keep going a little bit. You'll find Isaiah and Jeremiah, big, long books. Right after Jeremiah, you'll find Lamentations. It's a little tiny book in the Old Testament. And it comes right after Jeremiah because it was written by Jeremiah, the prophet of God. And so for the rest of our series about lament, we've been in this series called Sad Isn't Bad, right? And this is we're working through this five-chapter lament from this prophet named Jeremiah. But before we dive into it, I have a pop quiz for you. So if you have a program, inside that program, there's a half-page piece of paper. Did anybody not get one of these? Because everybody needs one. Does everybody have, well, just raise your hand if you're like, yeah, I didn't get one. It's not my fault. We got one. And if you don't have a pen, wait, there's another one back here. Does anybody need a pen? We got a need for a pen. Let's just like pass this around. You pick whatever pen you want. Who else needs one? So guys, this is a pop quiz. There's American history here. And there is ancient Jewish history. Sorry, that's for... Oh, you need one too. Okay, anybody else? This is not going to be a long quiz. Anybody else need a pen? All right, just pass it back. So I'm going to give you guys 3 minutes. Will you need a pen? I have one in my pocket. Make sure I get it back. So I'm going to give you 3 minutes to do both sides of this. So you don't have time to like really deliberate, like, oh, I don't know. So just make your best guess. And on both sides, the first one is the top one. So you give the first answer, Abraham on the Jewish side, that's number one. George Washington on the other side is number one. So I'll start you off with that. And we're going to see how you do. You're not going to necessarily report your answers, or this isn't going to be harshly graded. This isn't to shame you about what you don't know or what you forgot or anything like that. This is just part of it to get us all on the same page with where Jeremiah is when he writes this lament. So we'll get there in just a second, but you take the next 3 minutes. I'll time it right now, front and back, and I even have... For those watching live stream, it's up on the screen too. So, ready? You got it? Makes sense? You can work with a group. Like, you can cheat. You can just don't use your phones. Don't look anything up, okay? Ah, yep, there you go. Okay, go. And if you're feeling really dumb, I took this test twice after making it, and I got some wrong both times. Yeah, you're like, and you're our pastor. All right, you probably want to flip over to the other side or get moving that direction pretty soon if you haven't yet. guys should be wrapping it up about now. How many of you are already done? You made your guesses? Okay, you probably don't have them all right. Here's the answer to the American history side, in order. If you're looking down, it's 1, 9, 3, 4, 2, 8. Eleanor Roosevelt, 7, 10, 6, 5. Anybody get all of them right? Not a hand is up. This is hard. I got this one wrong twice after writing it. Okay, this is the Jewish side. Starts with 1 with Abraham, 6, 3, 2 for Joseph, 8, 10, 11, 12. David is 7, 9, 5, 4. Okay, so did you do better on the American side or on the Jewish side? American side, you did better? All right. How many did better on the Jewish side? More American side. I got the Jewish side all right, both times. American side, I failed twice. Okay, so I want to recap ancient Jewish history to bring you into this book of Lamentations. We're going to spend 5 weeks in Lamentations. Today's the first one. But Jewish history begins with Abraham, right? He was the father of the Israelite nation, Genesis chapter 12. It starts with Abraham. Joseph, he's the grandson of Abraham, right? The great-grandson. And Joseph is the reason Israel ended up in Egypt, right? Initially to find relief from famine and eventually to become enslaved for 100 years. So that happened. 400 years passes. God raises up Moses, right? 1400 BC. Moses is raised up to deliver his people from slavery, right? And lead them to the promised land. But Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. Joshua is the guy who helped lead them into the land. He's Moses' right-hand man. He got to go in. He got to help defeat Israel's enemies, claim the land God promised. Now then we've got Deborah. You're like, who's Deborah? Well, she was one of the judges. This is the season of Israel's history where judges ruled over Israel, and they would kind of watch over before they had kings. They had judges. And she is one who led Israel to victory over their enemies when no man would do it. She stood up. She filled the gap. Samuel is a prophet. He lived after the time of Judges, kind of in between Judges and Kings. He's a prophet who is the one, he said, David, we talked about David, you're going to be the next king. He anointed him at God's command. So David, probably the greatest king of all of Israel's kings. David and his son Solomon, they ruled during Israel's heyday. Everything is great for Israel in their season, in their time. Jerusalem was this bustling, thriving city. There was gold, like, everywhere. So life was good in those days. But David and Solomon passed, and things went downhill really fast. The people abandoned God. They start worshiping other gods. And the kingdom of Israel split into two kingdoms, the north and the south. Civil war marks the rest of Israel's history until both kingdoms are conquered by enemy nations and defeated. The Israelite people carried off into exile, foreign lands, slaves again. During that divided kingdom, God sent prophets like Elijah to warn them if they continue to be unfaithful to God, things are not going to go well. God would, quote, divorce them. He would divorce them and give them over to their other lovers who would not be good to them. Well, one of the kings during that time, his name is Manasseh. He was a bad dude, really, really bad dude. Not a good king, not at all. Not only did he lead Israel to worship other gods, he invited those altars to be set up in the very temple that they had built for Yahweh. It's disgusting what he did. So Jeremiah, he's the guy who wrote Lamentations, he's one of God's prophets who came shortly after Manasseh's reign. Things were not good. And Jeremiah prophesied warning after warning during the time leading up to when the southern part of Israel was defeated by the Babylonians. He was there. Jeremiah was there when the Babylonian army marched into Jerusalem after a 3-year siege.
They were starving. They were dying. He was there for that. The army knocked over the walls, destroyed the temple, destroyed the city, and carried off most of the people to Babylon to be slaves. Jeremiah was there for that. And Jeremiah remained in Jerusalem after that. The few who left behind, he was there. So he fully experienced the aftermath of this destruction. Okay, did you track with all that? You got all that, right? This is the history. Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Deborah, Samuel, David, Solomon, Elijah, Manasseh, Jeremiah, Daniel. That's history. We missed a few pieces. It's a sweeping view, right? So Jeremiah, he lives just outside of Jerusalem. He had seen it in its glory. He also experienced it in its desolation. And he wrote the book of Lamentations as a funeral dirge for the city that was broken. So every chapter of Lamentations is a separate poem. And if you're a language kind of person, every chapter is written like an acrostic. So the first verse of the first chapter starts with the letter A, the Hebrew letter Aleph. The second verse starts with the letter B. The third verse starts with the letter C. It goes all the way down through 22 letters, 22 verses, goes all the way through. Every chapter except the last one does that. Third chapter has 66 verses, so it does it three times. Each 1, 2, 3, A, 4, 5, 6, B, B, B. So that's what you have there. But when you look at your own Bible, like, how come I don't see that? How come I don't see all the A's in my Bible? Because it was written in Hebrew, and you can't do that. We have a language scholar among us, teaches German. He knows how this stuff works. You can't just find a letter for a word for one language and find another word with the same starting letter. It just doesn't work that way. Give you an example, the word God. We call him God, starts with the letter G. The Hebrew starts, it's called Elohim, starts with the letter E. The word for God in Greek is Theos, letter T. The word for God in Spanish is Dios, letter D. German, it's Gott. How do you say that? Gott. It's letter G, which, okay, now English, we got God. So German and English have the same letter, but all the other ones don't in this example. So you can't translate and keep all that beauty. You just have to learn Hebrew, and then you can get all that. But you don't need to do that to understand the message of Lamentations, because they translated it for us. We just don't get the A through Z feature. Make sense? All right. So Lamentations is written. Jerusalem is destroyed. Maybe 10% of the population is left. Thousands have been killed by the sword. The rest are carted off to Babylon in chains. Now we're ready to hear Jeremiah's lament, chapter 1 of Lamentations. And it's a long chapter, guys, but I'm going to read the whole thing. I'll comment about it a little bit as we go. This is Jeremiah speaking over the city. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. What's the city? The city is Jerusalem, right? How like a widow is she, who once was great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave. Think of the contrast. Jerusalem was a queen. People flocked to her to get wisdom, to see the splendor, the glory. She is now a slave. She is devastated. Verse 2, bitterly she weeps at night. Tears are upon her cheeks. Among all her lovers, there's none to comfort her. She is alone. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. Her affliction and harsh labor, after affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile. There it is. The city, the people have gone into exile. They've been taken away. She dwells among the nations. She finds no resting place. All who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn. Zion is another name for Jerusalem. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to her appointed feasts. And if you know about the Israelite people, they had appointed feasts three times a year. All the people would come into Jerusalem. It'd be a madhouse. It'd be crazy, but a celebration, a party, a week-long celebration. Passover, the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Tabernacles. They would come. Nobody's coming. Jerusalem's a wasteland. All her gateways are desolate. Her priests groan. Her maidens grieve, and she's in bitter anguish. Her foes have become her masters. Her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe. All the splendor has departed from the daughter of Zion. Her princes are like deer that find no pasture. Now he's talking about the leaders. The leaders of Israel, they're also devastated. In weakness, they have fled before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction and wandering, Jerusalem remembers all the treasures that were hers in days of old. The good old days. What was it like? Oh, to go back there. When her people fell into enemy hands, there was no one to help her. Her enemies looked at her and laughed at her destruction. Jerusalem has sinned greatly, and so has become unclean. So he points out there, this didn't just happen by accident. They had walked away from God. They'd rebelled against God in such gruesome ways that God said, enough is enough. All who honored her despise her, for they have seen her nakedness. She herself groans and turns away. Her filthiness clung to her skirts. She did not consider her future. Didn't think about what was to come, just thought about now. Her fall was astounding. There was none to comfort her. Look, O Lord, on my affliction, for the enemy has triumphed. The enemy laid hands on all her treasures. She saw pagan nations enter her sanctuary, those you had forbidden to enter your assembly. So pagan nations entered the sanctuary. That's the temple. They raided the temple. They stripped it of its gold, took all the treasures out, and it's gone. Emptied. Verse 11, all her people groan as they search for bread. Now what's going on? They're searching for bread. They're starving. A three-year siege. Imagine having no food trucks coming into Weiss and Giant, and you can't leave Kutztown for 3 years. You think we'd have enough food? No. We would not have enough food. I don't care how many farm fields are in the vicinity. They are out of food. All her people groan as they search for bread. They barter their treasures for food to keep themselves alive. Look, O Lord, and consider, for I am despised. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Look around and see. Is any suffering like my suffering that was inflicted on me that the Lord brought on me in the day of his fierce anger? From on high he sent fire, sent it down into my bones. He spread a net for my feet and turned me back. He made me desolate, faint all the day long. My sins have been bound into a yoke. By his hands they were woven together. They have come upon my neck, and the Lord has sapped my strength. He's handed me over to those I cannot withstand. The Lord has rejected all the warriors in my midst. He has summoned an army against me to crush my young men. In his winepress, the Lord has trampled the virgin daughter of Judah. This is why I weep, and my eyes overflow with tears. No one is near to comfort me. That's the third time he said that. No one is near to comfort me. He says it again and again. No one to restore my spirit. My children are destitute because the enemy has prevailed. Zion, Jerusalem, stretches out her hands, but there's no one to comfort her. The Lord has decreed for Jacob that his neighbors become his foes. Jerusalem has become an unclean thing among them. The Lord is righteous, yet I rebelled against his command. Listen, all you peoples, look upon my suffering. My young men and maidens have gone into exile. I called to my allies, but they betrayed me. My priests and my elders perished in the city where they searched for food to keep themselves alive. See, O Lord, how distressed I am. I am in torment within, and in my heart I am disturbed, for I have been most rebellious. Outside, the sword bereaves. Inside, there's only death. People have heard my groaning, but there's no one to comfort me. All my enemies have heard of my distress. They rejoice at what you have done. May you bring the day you have announced so they may become like me. Let all their wickedness come before you. Deal with them as you have dealt with me because of all my sins. My groans are many, and my heart is faint. Can you feel the lament? Can you feel the despair? As Jeremiah looks over the city that once was the glorious city of God, it's a desolate waste. And 5 times in the chapter, he repeats, there is no one to comfort me. And usually when he says me, he's referring to Jerusalem, to the whole people. God is not coming to rescue this time. He's come many times before, but he's not coming. No neighboring nations would help. God himself has withdrawn from them completely at this point. He is not even there to comfort them. The promised land has become a wasteland, and there's no hope for a future. This is the funeral song for the city of Jerusalem. This is why Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Weeping is the most appropriate response at this point. And it's okay to just linger in that sadness for a while. Think of the devastation. Put yourself in their shoes. Sad isn't bad. It's very appropriate right here. It's better than anger. You know, Jeremiah could have been angry with God that he let it get this bad. How can you do this, God? But instead, he weeps over the city. The people had been living in blatant rebellion against God for generations by this point. And God has always compared his relationship with people to a marriage. So if you try to think about it that way, if that's how he thinks about his people, if you were married to somebody who started bringing home other people and said, you know, I love this person more than I love you, and so they're going to be in the bedroom with me now and you sleep on the couch. And there's just this rotation of different people. You're on the couch, they're in the bedroom. How would you deal with that? I hope you wouldn't be okay with it. Guess what? God's not okay with it either. And that is exactly what they've been doing. Brought other gods right into God's temple. They'd violated every single one of God's laws. Rebellion against God had become their way of life. Israel had completely abandoned God. The Bible says they did more evil even than the godless nations that God had said, you don't get to be here anymore, these are my people. They did worse than them. It was literally that bad. They had certainly earned the judgment they had received. But guys, had everyone in Israel abandoned God? Somebody wrote this lament, right? Most, yes, most had abandoned God, but not all. There were always at least a few who remained faithful to God, like Jeremiah, like Daniel, like others. But everyone is suffering from the collective sin of the nation. And Jeremiah, as God's prophet, he's not ranting, he's not scolding, he's not giving them warnings. He'd done that. He'd already done that. He gave them plenty of warnings. Now he weeps for them. And as we begin into the book of Lamentations, we're in the middle of this series on lament, right? And it's really important that we face our own grief and our sadness and process those things that have happened in a healthy kind of way. That's important. We tend to ignore it. We need to not do that. It's what we've been talking about the last 4 weeks. We gotta follow the process, right? Turn to God. Bring your complaints. Ask for help. Learn to trust again. It's a journey. We got to take that journey because life happens and it hurts a lot of times. But it's also important, guys, as God's people, that we remember my lament isn't the only lament. My lament isn't the only lament. I mean, stop and ponder the lament of the Jewish people over history, biblical history, and now. All the suffering they faced over the years, they have reason to lament. I mean, most recent, this isn't just then, this is now. Guys, college campuses, they were chanting, from the river to the sea, from the river to the sea. Do you know what that means? That means the annihilation of the Jews. They're chanting that on college campuses. Some of them don't know what they're chanting, but that's what it means. Level them. Give it all back to Palestine. Destroy the Jews. We've been there before. Why does this keep happening? The Jewish people have a reason to lament that we don't understand or consider a lot of the time. We're not the only one with a lament. Think about a student in your class who just lost their dad. Or the young lady whose parents just got divorced. Does she have a lament? Or as Barbara shared, think about that 17-year-old girl who for the last 3 months has been overwhelmed and terrified, not having any clue what to do, and nobody knows. Guys, we're surrounded by people carrying an unseen burden. Grief, sadness over all kinds of things. We've got to remember that. We've got to remember that. And that helps us not stay stuck in our lament. We take the process. We take the journey. We move, right, through lament. Everybody you know, everybody, people you're close with, people you're not close with, every stranger you meet, they're wearing an invisible backpack that makes life heavier for them. You can't see it, but they have it on. Everybody. And some of the things in your neighbor's backpack, they made some foolish choices and they loaded up their backpack. Some of the things inside that backpack, they did nothing about. Someone else did something against them, and that went in their backpack. And some of those things in there, they just woke up one morning, and all of a sudden, it was heavier. That's how it works. Young couple gets married, full of excitement, hopes, and dreams, and a few years in, they find out, I can't have any kids of my own. And that becomes another brick in the backpack. Especially heavy on a day like today, right? Guys, my lament isn't the only lament. How many of you have watched the movie or read the book Wonder? It came out several years ago. Wonder, anybody? Just some of you. Like, I don't remember. It was maybe, I don't know how many years ago. 5 to 20. Between 5 and 20 years ago. I'm old enough that I can't remember anymore. But guys, that we read the book first as a family. I didn't watch the movie, but it does a really good job reminding us of that truth. Everybody's got a backpack on. Everybody's carrying a burden. Everybody's fighting a battle. It's about this middle school boy who was born with a terribly deformed face. And after many, many surgeries, he finally looks like an alien. Like, they can't make him look normal. And he's got to survive, I think it's fifth grade. Is it fifth grade? He's got, or eighth grade? I don't know. He has to survive his first year of public school looking like a freak. And it's a powerful story. But everybody's fighting a battle of some kind. Sometimes you can see it and sometimes you can't. And as Christians, like, we got to think about this. Everybody's got a backpack. And sometimes we can like kind of look at somebody and kind of have this callousness in our heart. They're like, well, they did something to get that. They put those bricks in there themselves. This is on them. They had it coming. Right? I've done that as a pastor, like, well, you made some pretty bad choices, so you're living in that. Right? I've done that. I've done that a lot, probably. That's not what Jeremiah does. He weeps. He weeps over Jerusalem. And more importantly, we appreciate Jeremiah. We respect him. He's a godly man. But we're followers of Jesus. Jesus doesn't do that either. He doesn't say, well, you deserved it. He's got compassion. He comes with compassion when he showed compassion when no one else would. Even when the person was caught directly in their sin, in the act, Jesus shows compassion when judgment is what they deserve. And that's what he did for you, right? So if you see people in their brokenness, if you get a glimpse of their backpack, if you don't respond with compassion, that may be a sign that you probably haven't yet grasped the seriousness of your own sin and what Jesus showed compassion towards you. The more we understand that, the more compassionate we'll be towards others, because we all had it coming. We all deserve judgment. Some of our laments are self-inflicted, others are not, but there's grace for all of it. There really is. Whatever the case, remember, my lament isn't the only lament. And as a church family, we'll be a lot stronger, a lot healthier by remembering that, by supporting each other in our struggles. We need to do that. That's got to be us. And as a community, as a broader community, we'll be a whole lot stronger, a whole lot healthier by remembering that truth, supporting each other in those struggles. Those who come to LC Medical, we need to have compassion towards them. My lament isn't the only lament. Step into other people's struggles. What about as a nation? Like, we think about the Israelite nation, they were in a major pain right there. What about as a nation for us? Should we lament over the condition of our nation? A couple of nods. Israel was in a season of major lament during Jeremiah's time. What about us? As a nation, Can we see a way as our own country has followed kind of a similar path to the path that Israel followed? Can we see that? Our nation started out with a strong foundation of trust in God. Get out any dollar bill, any coin, it's still on our money. In God we trust. That's how we started, right? We established laws that reflect God's wisdom. We allowed religious freedom. Not everybody has to follow Jesus. You have to choose. It's not forced. But overall, God was recognized as our ultimate authority. As time passed, that foundation began to erode, washed away by forgetfulness, passivity, and intentional blasting. Right? And there are still many who pledge allegiance to the Lamb of God in our country. You're here today. You're a follower of Jesus. I hope if you're not, you will be soon if you keep coming. There are many who pledge allegiance to the Lamb, but the majority in our country has turned away. The spiritual condition in our nation, the division in our government, the aggression against God in our educational system, even the spiritual indifference in our churches. All of that is worthy of our lament. And like Jeremiah, sitting in sadness over all that is very appropriate. It's an appropriate thing to do. Don't ignore it. Grieve over it. Pray over it. Sad isn't bad. But we don't stop there. We don't stop there. We got to remember the steps of lament, right? Turn to God. Bring your complaint. Ask for help. Learn to trust again. Because lament's a journey that leads us to deeper trust in God, right? Things are not as they should be. Amen? Things are not as they should be. That was true of Israel. It's true in our own country. It's true in our community. It's true in your family. It's true in your soul. Things are not as they should be. We have many reasons to lament. But lament is not our only calling. It's important, but it's not everything. Because God put you and me here, right here, where we are, in our place, where you live, not only to feel sad about it, but also to do something about it. We're followers of Jesus, right? Did Jesus just feel sad about our condition? Or did he do something about it? Praise God he did something about it. So our story doesn't have to end in lament. It doesn't have to end in a broken down city. We have a story that has a better ending because Jesus did something about our lament. He entered into our lament. He lived here 33 years. He had 12 immature, mobile roommates for three of those years. And many more chasing after him. And everything he did to bring healing to our brokenness. That's why he came. He moved into our lament. He did something about it. And when Jesus left, you know what he did? He said, now it's your turn. Pick up the mantle. Keep doing what I started. Right? So remembering, my lament isn't the only lament, is an important part of that. I have something to do here. You have something to do here. We can look at the division in our country. We can look at the division in our community, in our school board. We can look at those things and lament over that, and we should. But if we step into a deeper trust in God, as we lament, we can also step into their broken situation just like Jesus did for us. And, you know, one of the big things we do at our church, we have this youth center, this oasis thing. That, guys, that is us stepping into our community with support and love. That's saying we care about you. You matter. We want to help. An oasis is a beacon of light in our town. And part of the fruit of that is God's church is becoming a brighter, more attractive light for him. It's what we're called to do. The Apostle Paul said, Colossians chapter 1, he said, now I rejoice in what was suffered for you. Can you rejoice in suffering? He said, I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what's still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. He's saying, Jesus left us with work to do, and part of that includes suffering, and I'm going to rejoice that I get to do that. I get to be part of that, even though there's suffering. I'm okay with that. Paul says we get to continue living out the suffering Jesus so we can spread the healing of Jesus to more and more people and watch the church of Jesus Christ grow. And three verses later in the same chapter, he says, through us, what's he doing? Through us, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles That's anybody who doesn't know Jesus. To make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's it. That's the hope we have to share. Christ in you. When Jesus returned to heaven, he sent us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit enters into all who receive him by faith. You just got to invite him. And when the Holy Spirit comes, at your invitation, he radically changes your story. So it doesn't end in lament. It ends in glory. And that offer is for anybody who wants it. Wednesday afternoon, I was at Oasis having a really good spiritual conversation with a couple of students. And they're growing in their walk with God, and we're having a good conversation. Another student walked up. I didn't know where he was at, so I just brought him in, like, hey, what do you believe about God and all of that? And he thought about it a minute. He was pondering, and he said, you know, I believe things that I can see. Things I can touch, things I can see with my eyes. He kept emphasizing his eyes, what I can see. I believe what I can see. And he said, you know, evolution makes more sense to me. The Big Bang, I believe what I can see. He doesn't believe in God right now. You know, there's all kinds of holes in his argument and his thoughts and all that. I could shot holes all over the place, but I don't know his story yet. But I started connecting with him through foosball. He comes in, he's like, Nate, let's play foosball. And I whooped him the first several times, like, I'm coming back. And he started beating me. Now we're stepping into spiritual conversation. I look forward to asking him some more questions about where he's coming from and what he believes and what he thinks and sharing as God opens his heart to that. He needs light. Light's here. Light has come. Jesus meets us in our lament and leads us to glory. And, you know, it's Mother's Day. I didn't preach a Mother's Day sermon today. But, guys, moms are such an example of meeting people in their lament. Babies, right? I just witnessed it the other day. Like, a little boy hurt himself, knocked his shin. He's crying. He's hurt. And he comes to mama, and she's comforting. And you know what dad did? You know what dad did. I don't have to tell you what dad did. Mom met him where he's at. Dad's like, get up. You're fine. Be a man. You're four. Right? Maybe there's a place for suck it up. But moms, thank you for showing compassion the way Jesus does. Thank you for showing compassion so often, for loving like Jesus. We're going to be in Lamentations for a while. 4 more weeks is my estimate. But guys, our world gives us so many reasons to lament. Let's not ignore that. But our God gives us more reasons to rejoice. And we want to do both well. We want to do both well. Next week, Lamentations chapter 2. There may be some things that challenge your view of God a little bit in that chapter. You might want to read it ahead, like, what's he talking about? But for now, guys, just think about, okay, God, what are you doing in my heart? What are my next steps? What do you want me to do? Maybe it's related to LC Medical. Maybe it's related to Lamentations. Maybe it's related to your own lament. Maybe it's related to someone else's. But take a minute right now, just you and God, what do you want me to do? Maybe it's just come back next week and figure out some more. But maybe there's something God wants you to do personally right now. Take a minute to think about it.
pray together. God, you are a gracious and compassionate God. And you come to us in our lament. Lord, each person here has something invisible they're carrying. And I pray that you'll show them how to process that in a healthy way, that we can help process with each other, that we can come together and support each other, and that we'll be strengthened and equipped, that we'll experience healing through the powerful name of Jesus, that we can then help other people with their lament, that we can love our neighbor as you called us to. In whatever way that is, we can't do everything, but we can do something. So, Lord, help us. Heal us, and then show us what you have for us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Nate, for opening up God's Word to us this morning, and thanks, Barb, for sharing your ministry with us. It's so important. Why don't you all stand up? Now we'll close our service, and I open the service with a prayer blessing over the moms. Now we're going to close the service with a song, a blessing over the moms, and if you see a mom nearby you, we'll do something a little out of the box. Just stretch your arms out towards them, and we're going to pray this blessing over them this morning.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Sing that again.
Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn face towards you and give you peace. Amen. 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 And the children, may his presence go.
You guys can have a seat. Thank you. Thanks for being patient. We went a little bit longer than we usually do. Guys, if you're new at Cornerstone, there's a lot of people who are new at Cornerstone these days. If you are willing to share your contact information with us on the inside of your program, there's a tear-off tab. If you could fill that out, just drop it in the offering box in the back. We're not looking for your money. We just like to get to know you. So if you can do that for us, that would be awesome. It's also how I learn your names, how I remember. So we got some new summer stuff starting this week, guys. Wednesday night starts a ladies' study. It's going to be at Shannon's house. If information's in your program, but throughout the rest of May, June, and July, ladies' study Wednesday night, 6:30. It's right in Kutztown, right next to the Napa by Giant. The guys, we're starting Saturday morning's breakfast this coming Saturday. If you can make it, come. Rick Hadley's going to share his story. Say hi, Rick. Hi, Rick. That was awesome. He's going to share his story of how God kind of chased him down and brought him to himself. Every Saturday, somebody else is going to share. So it's going to be a really encouraging time to be together, breakfast, hang out, encourage each other. Also, I just want to point out LC Medical is here. They have a table in the back. There's a bunch of baby bottles. She mentioned it briefly. It's kind of one of the ways they raise funds. If you want to help with that, grab a bottle, bring it home, put money in it. If you're like, I want to give today, well, grab a bottle and put a check with $1 million in it. Like, whatever you want to do, you can put that in the baby bottle, bring it back by Father's Day, and we'll get all of that to them. We won't even open the bottles. It's just like, it just goes to them, and they can count the change, whatever you want. You put cash, change, checks, whatever, as long as you make it out to LC Medical, right? So if you want to help with that and be praying for that ministry, keep them in mind. Keep them in mind as you meet people, as things happen. So next week, now you know, I'm going to be in Lamentations chapter 2. My dad was talking to me. He's like, I never preached through Lamentations. Like, have you ever heard a series through Lamentations? Okay, me either. So it's going to be a first for all of us. Let's journey together. I hope you come back next time. There's food downstairs. Thanks for coming. Get to know the LC Medical Ministry back in the back. Grab some stuff and have an awesome day.